What, not a Lotto-mageddon?
Yes.
Oh, just Lotto-mageddon?
It's that easy. It's that easy.
I mean, that's the French word for lottery is just Lotto. So,
Lotto.
Yeah, just with one T.
Is that from like the root? You lose, or
I don't know. I don't think it's just you. Oh no!
Well, thank you. Wow, we made it to the top of the hour. We've got some great conversation coming up. Ellis is going to get our guests ready. Thank you. And broadcasting live is what we are doing from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger, Chad Green, Alexa Bosick, Todd Chorosky, Ella Storm. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings. At WRCT, Pittsburgh. WIUP-FM, Indiana, WMCO, New Concord, KRDP, Apache Junction, Goldfield, Ghost Town, Phoenix, WSAJ, FM Grove City, WCUC, FM Clarion, WNJR, Washington, Tube City online at WMCK.com. FM McKeesport, WKYWLP, Kaiser, West Virginia, Mountain Streams Radio.org, and SLBRadio.org/radio, where you will find links to our own streaming player, plus that of TuneIn, Simple Radio, Streama, and Radio Garden, and our nifty listen by phone number, 631-359-8728.
I'm Bob, he's Bob, we're Bob and Bob. One of a kind, two of a kind, freak of nature. They said they knew it couldn't be true, but here we are, a scientific breakthrough. We're different just because we are the same. We're flaky little snowflakes with ordinary names. Being just alike makes us different and strange. Identical six-sided siblings, silly scatterbrains. I'm Bob, he's Bob, we're Bob and Bob. We're one of a kind, two of a kind, freak of nature, freak of. It's long been said, no two of us could ever be created exactly alike. Smart folks investigated, got up early and stayed up late, and up to now it looked like they were right. We're different just because we are the same. We're flaky little snowflakes with ordinary names. There's never been a guy quite as handsome as my brother. That's what I always say when we're mistaken for each other. I'm Bob, he's Bob, we're Bob and Bob. We're one of a kind, two of a kind, freak of nature. Did you know some people have never seen snow? It only snows on one third of the earth. Did you know the record for accumulated snow is 454 inches on Tamarack, California, way back in 1911? When Mr. Sun comes shining through, Bob and Bob and all our friends will all turn back to water. Make our homes in water beds, clean your teeth and wash your heads. Turn us into Kool-Aid, we don't care. We're different just because we are the same. Flaky little snowflakes with ordinary names. Being just alike makes us different and strange. Identical six-sided siblings, silly scatterbrains. I'm Bob, he's Bob, we're Bob and Bob. We're
one of a kind, two of a kind, freak of nature. One of a kind, two of a kind, freak of nature.
Trout fishing in America. Thank you for being with us today, and welcome to this hour of the Saturday Light Brigade. It's our Youth Express Hour. We have a couple of guests I know that you will enjoy. We were joking, if you were with us for the last hour, we were sort of having fun with plays on the term Snowmageddon. Depending on your situation, we know the impending snowstorm could be a challenge and is likely to be a challenge. We haven't been doing too much talking, updating weather forecasts and such this morning. We've delegated that to just about every other broadcaster. We're trying to have some fun with it as we think about it. But bear in mind the latest, we do keep in touch with those things. The snow in Pennsylvania and vicinity is expected to come very late tonight, Saturday night, or early Sunday morning. And between then and Monday mid-morning, it's forecast to be about 8 to 12 inches. That could change, but that's where things currently are now. And certainly you're going to want to check if you have any plans once you've determined whether you want to go through with your plans. Check facilities or other people involved to see if they've felt the same way as you did.
Assemble joins you in supporting the Saturday Light Brigade. Assemble invites the community to 2026 6x6, an art show of community-made pieces limited to a 6x6-inch canvas. The 2026 6x6 art show will open on February 6th at Assemble, located at 4824 Penn Avenue in the Garfield neighborhood of Pittsburgh. All proceeds will benefit Assemble's STEAM education programs for youth. More information on the 2026 6x6 art show is available at assemblepgh.org/6x6.
I mentioned earlier some of our text messages and emails seem to be a little delayed this morning. We were looking for Faux-mageddon before on artificial. Martha and Bill in Stanton Heights sort of combined that with the Starbucks uprising. They came up with sweet and low Mageddon for the artificial sweetener, sweet and low Mageddon. And Alan said, a bunch of dudes doing podcasts. That would be a bro-mageddon. A bro-mageddon. Excellent, Alan. Thank you. It's my pleasure to introduce you to Husnia, who is here with us. Husnia is a senior at City Charter High School. I'd like to get to know a little bit about you, and then we're going to talk about your experience at the Summer Academy for Math and Science at Carnegie Mellon. Her experience was back in the summer, but the application deadline is coming up on February 1st. So we wanted to talk a bit about the experience in case you or somebody you might know might want to apply. Before we talk about all of that, though, tell me more about yourself, what you like to do, and some of your passions.
Well, first, thank you for having me today. Some of my passions, I would say, just pretty basic things like reading, hiking, stuff like that I really like. I've been trying to learn how to bike. I never learned how to, so that's definitely a little embarrassing, but I'm trying to learn how to now, so that's a few things.
That's got to be hard to learn when you're older. I know other adults that picked up biking later in life. Is anybody helping you, or how's that been going?
Well, it's mostly my little sisters who are definitely laughing at me for not knowing how to, but it's pretty fun. It's just a lot of, like, falling, just constant.
That's, you'll get it eventually. I know people are probably telling you that, but I have the same issue with diving, any kind of diving where you need to go head first. I don't know if you can do that. You know,
no.
I can't do it. And despite all of the various, you know, fundamentals, this is what you do, this is the way you're supposed to put your center of gravity, et cetera. I'm kind of convinced that's it. I'm just not going to be able to master that. When you read, is there a particular genre that you like? You mentioned enjoying reading.
I'm into anything and everything. If someone hands me a book, I'll read it. I honestly never have a bad review. Sometimes, like, I won't finish the book, but I don't think I've ever really had a bad review of a book.
That's good to know. Do you write much?
I've tried to get into it, but as life gets busier, it's hard to keep up with it, so.
Yeah, and I can imagine you are busy. Husnia is a student at City Charter High School, which has a really unique curriculum and schedule. Can you talk a little bit about that for people that aren't familiar with how City Charter works?
So City Charter High School, the way that it works is we have school for 3 months, and then we have a month off, and then 3 months, a month off, so it's year-round. It's designed to kind of get you adjusted for college. So we have school from September until like the first week of December. We have that like entire month of December off, and then we go back to school for another 3 months. We also don't have school on Mondays, which is a huge plus, so that's great. But then we do have school in the summer, which can be a little hard when everyone else is out of school and you're still in there. So,
and longer school days too, right? But as a result, you have internships that you get a chance to take. Have you done any of those yet?
Well, I'm actually on internship now. So the way that our school is set up, your class is split into three different teams, Team A, Team B, or Team C. I was on Team C, so that meant that I would get my internship second semester of senior year, but some people got it their last semester of junior year or the first semester of senior year. So I have my internship now over at the Carnegie Museum of Natural History in the Moloch section, which is pretty great. I was never really interested in it before, but now I've learned like so much about it, so that's great.
You've come out of your shell. That's what do you do as part of that? I can't imagine.
Well, a lot of it is just sorting through specimens, cataloging them, and then just kind of organizing them. And honestly, I had no idea there were so many different species.
That's pretty responsible work to give you, too, to be sorting through these. I'm sure there's supervision too, but I would imagine you have to put on gloves and really handle this stuff with great care.
Wow. There's a lot that goes into it.
Have you thought about what you might want to do after you graduate?
Well, right now I'm leaning towards STEM. I definitely want to do something in English, maybe do a minor or something of that sort in college, but I'm just sort of in the STEM area now, just sort of figuring that out.
It's good that you're getting this exposure with this internship. And you also just up the street from Carnegie Museum of Natural History, CMU Summer Academy for Math and Science. And you did that just before your senior year. Do I have that correct?
It was the summer before.
So tell me, you know, why did it interest you, and what happened as part of that experience?
Well, before I did SAMS, I did a different Carnegie Mellon program called LEAP that was offered through City High, and it was specifically about social justice and learning about the arts and social justice through the arts. So that was really great. And while I was there, I saw like a little poster about the Summer Academy of Math and Science, and I remember just looking at it, and the person who leads LEAP was like, oh, I think this is something that you'd be really interested in, and told me more about it, and I was like, oh, that's really cool, and I decided to apply. So it was really great.
That's great. That's Sarah, I think. Yeah, Sarah is wonderful. We've worked with her for LEAP. And isn't it the case, as you begin to meet people, you start to learn about opportunities that you can take advantage of? So that led to you applying. Mm-hmm. And then once you're in, how does... Now, SAMS is Summer Academy for Math and Science. How does it work? What do you do?
Well, they send out a bunch of different emails, and there's like a whole, like, I think there's about like a week where it's just a bunch of virtual events, about a week or two before the actual program begins in Pittsburgh. And they do a bunch of meetings where you get to meet some of the people who are actually going to be teaching at the program. And then you also get to connect with like the rest of like your peers that are going to be there. They tell you more about it, and there are so many different information sessions about the things that you can do, the classes that you might be able to take, and opportunities around Pittsburgh. So that's really fun.
So you get all of the, some of the basics and ice-breaking done virtually, and then do you spend time on campus?
Mm-hmm. So... after the virtual connects, there's about, I would say, like a week or two before it actually starts. And then you get here, and the first, like, few days is just you kind of getting used to everything. And there are a lot of different summer programs at Carnegie Mellon, so it also connects with those. But the first day, I remember, at least for me, it was just me meeting my roommates, getting to know them, and then we were just exploring campus, looking around everywhere, trying to find like different places that we could study or different places that would be fun to hang out in.
That's pretty exciting. So you actually end up living on a college campus for several weeks, I would imagine, right? And was that your first time overnight, away from home, in that kind of setting?
Yeah, it was. So it was a little, like, nerve-wracking, but it was also, once I got over that, it was really fun. It definitely prepares you for college, because then you get to, like, think, and you're like, oh, like, this is what college is like, this is what, like, I'm going to be doing, or the things I'm going to be seeing, and people I'll be meeting.
Yeah, that's really something. Did anything surprise you about college campus life?
I would say the walking. It was like so much walking. The building that we were put in was Residence on Fifth, and it's not too far from campus itself, but out of all the other residential buildings that people were in, it was definitely the farthest.
Yeah, that, I don't believe that building is technically on campus, although it's fairly close, so you would have to walk to make it to your classes.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your classes. How many did you have, and I'd love to hear what they were.
There were a few different classes. The way that it worked was they sent out an email before the program actually started, so that one, you could like know what the classes were and then be able to choose them. And they had a few different choices. They had like an elective offering for each student, and then they had a writing class, which was sort of about writing supplementals for college essays, writing your personal essay for college, and other things like that. And then they had a choice of a science class, which was either physics, chemistry, or biology. And then they had math classes, and it was either, I think it was linear algebra, and then math games. I chose math games, so I don't know too much about linear algebra, but that was the math section. And then the electives, you had so many different choices. There was like, I was in the neuroscience class, and then there was a, I think there was like an EFC, I think it was called. It was like gaming and robotics, something like that. And then there was like another like heavy biology course. There were so many different ones. I can't even remember half of them.
And you only had one slot to fill of all of those different opportunities. That's kind of neat because it showed you the range of what's available. And probably, I mean, your roommate, I'm sure, took different classes than you did, I would imagine. So you got to vicariously experience them. So what was the math games class like? I'm wondering what you did.
So the math games class, I went into it not knowing what I was going to do. It was like such a new topic. I was like, what even are math games? But it was basically a class where they would give you a game and then they would tell you, oh, this is either a first player game or a second player game, meaning that either the first player is always going to win or the second player is always going to win.
The one who goes first or the one who goes second.
Like, yeah.
It's not the case, but if it were chess, if you made the if you were white and made the first move with those pieces, you would always win, or the second player would always win. So these would be games, not a whole lot of fun if you know if you know whoever's going to win by who goes first or second. That's interesting.
Yeah, so it was a bunch of that, and then we had to like figure out how to make it a first player game or how to make it so that the second player would always win. And it was, we had to find so many different combinations, and we like looked at so many different games that it was hard to keep up at times. But it was so fun because the class made you realize that like math is everywhere. Like, people tell you that and you're like, okay, sure, and you don't think much about it, but then you realize, oh, like, it actually is like everywhere. Like, you can use it to solve these games.
Was it their contention that every game is a first or second player game, or only a subset of them?
I think they kind of changed them up sometimes. So, like, the professor, he would give us a scenario where it was like, oh, the second player is always going to win in this scenario, but now I want you to make it, like, a first player game.
I see. So that's a way to play with the constraints on the game to force a certain kind of result, which probably gives you some muscles for game design in general. That's fascinating to think about that. You made me think of tic-tac-toe, which can almost come to that. At least that would be a good example. So math is everywhere. Are there any places that you were surprised to think about math's application?
We played this jump rope game where it was so weird. It was, we twisted the ropes together, so there were two sets, we twisted them together, and then we had to find a way to untwist them so that they were parallel to each other. And somehow at the end of the class, the professor sat us down and was like, does anyone think there was any math in this? And we were all obviously like, oh, like, no, like, we can't think of anything. So then somehow he made it into a formula and was like, this is the formula that you can use to solve a game like this. And it was so mind-blowing.
Wow. What was the professor's name? If you don't remember, that's okay.
Yeah, I don't think I do.
That's all right. I'm sure he or she is well known for the work. So what was your elective?
So I was in the neuroscience class. It was like a neuroimaging class. So me and one of my roommates were both in it. So that was really fun. But it was a bunch of stuff about brain imaging and brain imaging, like resources and how you could make research and then use brain imaging to find some of that.
Fascinating. What did you find? I think the whole concept is fascinating, but did you see any examples of images and the things they revealed that have stuck with you?
I think the images as a whole kind of stuck with me because you could play around with the images themselves and play around with, like, the wiring that went on in it, so you could like make it look really nice. And some of those images were like so beautiful that it like left you thinking like, oh my gosh, like, wow.
Yeah, it's really something. And it makes me think about understanding symptoms or thought patterns or brain injuries. How did you look at those images, were you in a lab or were you looking at images on a screen? How did you get to see them?
Well, first we all sort of chose our own research questions that we wanted to focus on, and then we built our own projects, and then we had two subjects and we did MRI imaging on them, and then based off of those images we were able to find like the connectivity between different parts of the brain and then like make the wiring and play around with it.
So when you say subjects, you mean people?
Mm-hmm.
And were they actual people or just sets of images already available to represent them?
No, we actually had two people. One of them was actually our professor who was teaching the class.
Oh my gosh.
So
so you got an MRI of your professor?
Mm-hmm.
How did you, I would imagine you had to go to a lab. I don't think there's mm-hmm. an MRI unit at Carnegie Mellon. How did you do that?
There was a brain imaging lab near Carnegie Mellon that we went to, and we got to see like how the MRI actually worked, and
wow.
they explained like everything about that. So that was really cool.
What a great mm-hmm. experience. Anything else? So we talked about the math games class, this neuro science elective class mm-hmm. that you took. A little bit about the icebreaking and orientation and the living on campus experience. Anything else come to mind from your overall experience?
I would say other than like science classes, which you had one of three choices, it was either chemistry, physics, or biology. For biology, one of my roommates were in that class, so it was a bunch of lab work, a bunch of stuff centered around biology. And then the physics class my other roommate was in, that one I didn't understand as much, so I couldn't even speak on that. And then chemistry, which I was in, a lot of experiments, a lot of things like titrations and other like chemistry things. And chemistry and physics, we kind of did classes together at some point in the beginning and near the end of the program, and we did like presentations.
So I'm sure this whole program has made you a different person as mm-hmm. a result of taking it. Can you describe how you changed from the beginning to the end of it?
I think one thing that really changed was my perspective on college and what I wanted to do. I think it overall just made me like a more responsible person. Like I was living with other people I had never met before, and it was in like a college campus setting, and I was actually able to like change and grow. And then like for college, I think I was able to learn so much more about myself because they had these events every week where it was like different informational sessions that you could go to of Carnegie Mellon's. It was like, oh, like the biological sciences majors or humanities majors or anything of that sort that you could go to and listen to actual students and actual professors and learn about the things that they were doing. So going to these like networking events made me realize like how vast the fields that I wanted to go to were and the things that I could do. So that was really great.
So it sounds like it sort of made the world seem a little bigger, but also mm-hmm. kind of smaller because you at least know what's out there.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else you want to say about that experience?
I would say that it honestly helped me so much. We had the opportunity to talk to the class of 2024 SAMs. We were able to talk to a few of them, and they kind of gave us advice at the beginning. And just being able to hear that was like, oh, like, sure, like, it's so great, it's this. But then once you actually get there, it doesn't hit you. But then at the end of the program, you're like, oh, wow, that was such a great experience. Because you think about all the friends you've made, all the memories you made, and like everything that you did that summer, and you're like, wow, that was so amazing. Like last year's alums were telling the truth.
Now the application deadline for this summer's program is fast approaching. It's February 1st, 2026, cmu.edu/pre-college is how you can learn about it. What advice would you give to somebody considering whether to apply or not?
I would say to really think about the things that you want to do. If you're interested in math or science or even in writing, I think it just gives you so many opportunities to explore those, and you meet so many different people, and it's great for networking as well.
Congratulations. You are remarkably self-assured, and I can tell you have an amazing future ahead of you. I really appreciate you being here.
Thank you for having
today.
Me.
Our thanks to Husnia. You live in Swissvale. Mm-hmm. I lived in Edgewood for a while. She is a student at City Charter High School, talking about her experience at the Summer Academy for Math and Science at Carnegie Mellon University. Thank you for being with us today. Another guest is about to join us in just a few moments. Don Martin, who is here for Streaming Justice, our annual MLK Day talk show. Don is from Homewood and just graduated from Passport Academy Charter School. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square. You're listening to the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings from SLB Radio Productions. Saturday Light Brigade with the Missy Werner Band. And do you know who had the big hit with that song? Ann Murray. And it was 1969. Doesn't seem like that long ago, but that was the year Ann Murray had a big hit with that song. It helped make her the very first Canadian artist to earn a U.S. gold record, and she went on to have other hits. Last fall, she celebrated her 80th birthday with a plan to release new songs. Well, sort of new songs from the vault that were never previously released. And she did that just this past week. I haven't heard any of them. But if you're an Anne Murray fan, previously unavailable material is now available for you to peruse.
A-Plus Schools joins you in supporting the Saturday Light Brigade. The mission of A-Plus Schools is to eliminate chronic absence in Pittsburgh city schools so that every kid can show up ready to learn in every school, every day. A-Plus Schools 2025 Report to the Community provides a thorough and objective look at Pittsburgh's public and charter schools, offering families, community organizations, policymakers, and concerned citizens critical data about student achievement, student growth, school climate, teaching, and more. A copy of this report and more information about A-Plus Schools is available at ourschoolspittsburgh.org.
Be the first to learn about upcoming guests and features by subscribing to Brigadier Briefings, our email newsletter. Each newsletter includes an original puzzle, links to past programs, and details about youth and adults appearing on the next edition of the Saturday Light Brigade. Get closer to SLB by subscribing to our newsletter at slbradio.org/subscribe.
I first had a chance to meet Don Martin probably about a year ago, maybe not quite that long. Do you know? Let me turn your microphone on. Maybe you know the exact date.
Not the exact date, but it was over this past summer.
Yeah.
When I was with Penn State.
Yeah, and that's right. It was during the Penn State Readiness Institute. And I remember thinking, I like this person. I hope I get a chance. We always, anytime we have teens come through, it's on 17, we do all we can to encourage you to come back. And I remember thinking, I sure hope Don comes back, and you did, and I'm glad for it. Don is 17. You just graduated
from
Passport Academy Charter School. I know you a little bit, but people listening don't. How would you describe yourself, some of your passions, your joys, your hopes?
I would say I am confident, smart, strong, authentic. I love jazz, older music. That's what I studied at Kappa. I was there from 6th to 11th grade, and I studied vocal music, and I left and went to Passport so I could graduate early. I just graduated last week, or the week before last, the 14th of January. And I just like being myself. I like being free, you know. I like learning from life. And that's how I learn, through my poetry.
With music and poetry and your creative spirit, do you have a sense of what you want to do now that you've graduated?
I really want to do everything. I want to explore entertainment. I was in a theater company since 2021, Alumni Theater Company, and I want to do the arts. I want to sing, I want to act, I want to do poetry. Anything that I can do that's meant for me, you know.
How do you think the opportunities are in our area for those things? I mean, Alumni Theater Company, great that's mm-hmm. there. It's good that Passport was here to support your graduating early. I know that sometimes people feel they need to leave the city to get opportunities. And while I understand that, I'm always hopeful that people have a choice, that they can find the opportunities here. Have you been able to, and is your outlook pretty good for finding them here?
I feel as though my outlook is pretty good. Everything that I've done, I found on my own. I was a extra in a movie called Godless Children, and it filmed at Kelly O's, you know, independent film, low budget, but it was something fun that I got to do. And I was also, you know, doing shows. So there are there are a lot of opportunities in Pittsburgh, but for me personally, I have to look a little broader than Pittsburgh sometimes.
And that's true, probably. You're not alone in saying that, but I know particularly in looking at the arts, that can be the case too. It's so good that Alumni Theater Company is here as a resource. So you entered your writing in this competition called Envisioning a Just Pittsburgh, and your entry was selected. It's going to be on display starting February 19th at the August Wilson Cultural Center. That's pretty exciting. Tell me a bit how that all came about, how you even, how it came to pass that you even entered it.
Well, you know me, I was looking on my search for opportunities in Pittsburgh and around me, and at the time I was doing an internship at the Carnegie Library, and I was talking to my manager, and she was just letting me know about all of the opportunities around me and that involved their company. So I just submitted my poem, and I actually wrote it on the spot. And I just submitted it.
Wow. So you, when you say you wrote it on the spot, you mean you sat down, wrote it?
As soon as I saw the application, saw the prompt, I felt inspired. I don't know. It just, the mood struck me to write. So I did.
That's wonderful. I can think of exactly one time in my entire life that I did that with writing. Normally, I want to go back and make changes and sleep on it and write more. And everybody has different methods. But it's really, have you done that before with other writing?
Yes. But I feel as though nothing is perfect. So you really just have to, like, do what feels right in your artistry. Like, everybody's artistry is different, so you really should do what feels right. And you want to change it, or I should have said this, or I should have said that, or I don't know why I just mixed that word with that, but art is art. It's imperfect. It's human. That's what makes it art, because it's imperfect and other people can relate to it.
That's a great perspective to bring. This is Dawn Martin, who is 17. We're going to share, she's going to share her poem in just a little bit. A couple weeks ago, she graduated early from Passport Academy Charter School. She lives in Homewood, and as you can hear, she is an artist who's well grounded in who she is. Do you want to tell us a little bit about the poem before sharing it, or do you want to just go right into it?
I just want to give a quick little, you know, looking back, I didn't realize how strong it was and how quick I wrote it. It didn't feel like this might win or this might be the best or, you know, but it, after looking at it over time and sitting with it, I felt that I loved it. I loved it. So let me just share it.
Yeah, isn't that interesting, the way writing and the other creative works can age such that your relationship with it is different than when you first created it? I find that fascinating.
It
often
is.
The bond you have with it grows stronger over time.
It does. Without any further ado, this is called Safe Space. Built in a glorified man's name, a place to take shelter and remain. Here lies the secrets of the past, promises of dim and beautiful futures. So like a vulture, you pick through the tales of old families and democracy, an extended, prolonged summary of the injustices we face. So when we build up a historic state, you laugh and mock us in our face by stealing what little we have left from our ancestors' faith. I go back to a place where I feel comfortable and safe, surrounded by people who are easy to conversate. Some call it the COP, others call it Free to the People, but most know it as the Carnegie Library of Pittsburgh.
Wow. It is, I bet the library, what was their reaction when they...
Well, I don't know. I just got an email a couple days before Christmas, and I was let know, like, your poem's going on display if you choose to accept. So I accept it.
That sounds terrific. And we've envisioning a Just Pittsburgh is the name of the competition. And libraries are really one of the remaining equalizers in our society, where everybody's the same. Everybody has equal access. Maybe mass transit would be the other, although not mass transit, try as it might, is not quite available for each and every person.
Not as often as it used to be.
Now, tell me about your experiences at the library.
I have great experiences. Like I said, I did a detain internship at the library downtown, and from there, my relationship with the library has grown, and it's just been a great experience. Honestly, it's calm. It's, like you said, equal. Like, no one is above anyone, even if it's like a manager or general manager. It doesn't feel that way. It feels like a safe space, you know? And there is so much history and knowledge within libraries that you can go through. You could look up your lineage, old families, or you could look up old history, democracy, you know. So there's so many, just there's so many things that are in a library, and that's why I appreciate it so much.
Dawn, you mentioned the term safe space, and lots of people hear that term and they might be wondering, what? You know, and not certain people, and especially adults might be wondering, is it simply a place where there are no guns or there are no drugs? But it's well beyond those things. And I wonder if you could explain a little bit what a safe space is to you.
Yes, yes. A safe space is a place where you can go, where you don't have to worry about being judged, where you don't have to worry about being teased or mocked. And it's a place where you have people who can help guide you in the right direction, in the right way. And even if you want to build a business, you know, you could ask your librarian to have a meeting with you about that. There's so many different ways that the library can help you copy, print, you know, but a safe space is a place where you don't have to perform or be anything that you're not. You're just you. You're safe.
What a great way of describing that. And everybody wants safe spaces. Mm-hmm. And I think we sometimes don't realize how we are all equipped to provide those spaces for others. Part of it is that you treat people the way you would want to be treated, but also to just take a minute and think about how what you may do is going to cause somebody else to feel, and to take a second and think. Even sometimes you're going to err on the side of extreme caution,
right?
But it's a good thing to do. Do you find yourself acting in certain ways to make sure that you're creating a safe space when you're part of that space?
Yes, even when I'm not a part of that space, even in my day-to-day life, I feel as though it's necessary to be cautious of how you make other people feel, how you feel, and making sure that you don't make someone feel how you don't want to feel. And by that I mean just do what you would want done to you, say what you would want said to you. And that's why I feel like the arts and my poetry helps heal people, because when you listen to music or poetry or even jazz, you feel a certain way and it helps you calm and soothe and things of that nature.
Yeah, it's really transformative. Do you play musical instruments at all or sing?
No, I only sing. If I'm being quite honest, I really don't know how to read music. That's why jazz is my favorite genre, because you can improv and it's about feeling and emotion and things like that. So jazz is definitely my favorite by far.
Do you have any, you mentioned liking older jazz. Mm-hmm. Miles Davis happens to be playing in the background right now. Do you have any artists that you...
Yes, absolutely. I love Ella Fitzgerald. She's one of my favorites because of her improvisation and that she never did a song the same twice. And I feel like that's what's missing. And also Billie Holiday. I love Billie Holiday, Miss Lady. And there's just so many other people. Sarah Vaughan. Those people are foundational in my artistry.
Probably Carmen McRae. Do you know Carmen McRae?
No, I'm not familiar Carmen.
You would like Carmen McRae.
Yes.
And you mentioned Sarah Vaughan, Sassy Sarah Vaughan. Mm-hmm. Those are great examples of absolutely wonderful artists. I'm glad you thought of those. Have you thought about, can you scat? I'm not now, not this second. But.
No, I feel like a modern version, but it's not quite like how they did it. So
yeah, they're amazing. Every time I hear people sing that way, and they're men who do it quite well too, it's like, how are they doing that? Should I learn to do it?
It is definitely fun. Like, it's fun. It's emotion. It's music. You know, whatever you want to feel, you're going to feel in a jazz or blues song.
It's really lovely to get to know you better. We just have another minute or two. Is there anything else you'd like to say that I didn't give you a chance to, or that you want to talk about?
I just want to say thank you for this opportunity, for the chance to present my work and the chance to broaden my audience. It's been a very great pleasure, great time talking to you. This space is amazing. Listen to SOB Radio on youthexpress.com.
Oh, you're great. I was looking to see if I have something by Ella here. Indeed, I have the perfect song by Ella Fitzgerald for us. Do you want to just introduce, here's Ella Fitzgerald?
Absolutely. Ella Fitzgerald, the original, the icon, the matriarch, the mother.
As introduced by Don Martin. And this is the song of the day. Classic Ella.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs of stopping, and I've brought some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I'll hate going out in a storm. But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. The fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbying. But as long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Thank you. good night. How I'll hate going out in the storm. But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. Oh, the weather outside is frightful, for the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs of stopping, and I've brought some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I'll hate going out in the storm. But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. The fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbying. But as long as you love me so, let it snow.
Saturday Light Brigade, that's Alison Krauss, along with Union Station, and the song Snow, and Ella Fitzgerald, especially for Dawn. Wasn't it wonderful to have Dawn here with Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Don Martin. Broadcasting live, as if there were ever any other way, from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger and you with Mirabel Skipworth coming up in just a moment. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUPFM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, KRDP Apache Junction, Goldfield, Ghost Town, Phoenix, WSAJ FM Grove City, WCUC FM Clarion, WNJR Washington, WKYW LP Kaiser, West Virginia, Mountain Streams Radio.org, Tube City Online at WMCK.FM McKeesport, and SLBRadio.org/radio, where you will find links to our audio player as well as those of TuneIn, Simple Radio, Streama, and Radio Garden, as well as our listen by phone number, which is 631-359-8728.
He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind cause he was way behind, and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young blind man playing tunes, picking it hot, the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said,
"Boy, let me tell you what, I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a guitar picker too. And if you care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you got a pretty good lick, old boy, but give the devil his due. I'll bet a guitar of gold against your soul, cause I think I'm better than you."
The boy said,
"My name's Arthur."